Tight drop. Steps up in the pocket. Fires to Jenkins. Caught. Touchdown! Excellent pass, Christian Ponder. Excellent pass. It's a 24-yard touchdown.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Good evening and an early happy Thanksgiving from all of us here at the Vikings Radio Network and with the football team, the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park, an interview with wide receivers coach George Stewart coming up very shortly. And at the bottom of the hour, it's Vikings Country featuring Jared Allen from Mall of America. Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, joins us now. Thanks to Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founder partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Happy early Thanksgiving, Coach Frazier.
Thank you. Same to you.
I taped an interview earlier today with George Stewart. The only problem I have chatting with him is all he wants to do is chat about R&B music from the 70s. Once he found out I know former Sly and the Family Stone bass player Larry Graham, yeah. I can't get him to talk about anything with the team. All he wants to do is talk about songs and everything. Do you have the same problem?
No. I like music, but Stu is he's an aficionado of music. He loves R&B music. There's no question about it.
You see, that's the head coach in you coming out. I mean, it's all 2-8. It's all improving. Fewer penalties. Trying to get explosive. Can't even enjoy like Easy by the Commodores or anything, can you?
Maybe in off season. Maybe there'll be a period there where we'll get a break to be able to enjoy that.
What challenges does Atlanta's offense pose for you, sir?
Well, when you take a look at what they've been able to accomplish against some good teams, being able to maintain possession of the football, for example, the New Orleans Saints game, they run 91 plays in a game that included overtime, and they've had a number of other games where they've been 70-plus plays. So they do a great job of controlling the football, scoring when they have the ball, and keeping their defense off the field. And it's a great system that they have. Quarterback does a terrific job, Matt Ryan.
Yep.
They've got an excellent running back in Michael Turner. And those wide receivers, they are very explosive and make a lot of big plays.
Gut feeling on Adrian Peterson and the high ankle sprain, in or out?
I'm hoping that he'll make it. Got our fingers crossed. We'll know a little bit more about it as the week goes on, but hoping that he'll be able to make it.
I don't present this flippantly, Leslie. We've known each other for quite some time. I think you know I'm not like that. But from 2-8 with this situation, why would it even be a question? I mean, he gives you a great chance to win. I get that. But isn't preserving him for the rest of the year in the future, isn't that most important?
Well, it's purely based on his health. You know, if he's able to play without putting himself at risk, then you make the decision. But if he's at risk and he's not able to protect himself, then there's no way you can put Adrian Peterson on the football field.
With six to go, you in no way think this is the potential of a season-ending kind of thing for Adrian, right?
No. Based on what the doctors have told us, if he misses a game, it would probably be the Atlanta game, and we should have him back the next week.
Yeah, trying to find a silver lining here in the 2-8s. He's 160 and whatever from the all-time rushing record. Jared Allen sitting there with 13 and a half sacks and stuff. But with Adrian, you know, if and or when he gets that done in fewer than 5 years, it took Robert Smith 8 years to go 6,818. I know you've seen Robert run before. Mm-hmm. Under 5 years, that's an amazing accomplishment if he gets it done.
Yeah, he's an amazing running back, as you and I both know. And he's done some things on the field. You just shake your head and say, wow, this guy is special. You know, we're watching one of the best, if not the best, to ever play the game at running back, and he's ours. He's here in Minnesota. So he's fun to watch, and it's just a matter of time before he gets that record.
Leslie, tell me if you've noticed this about Adrian, but the thing, the more he matures and the blitz pickup gets better at times, and you know, he had that problem in 09 dropping the ball, and it got better the next year. He's gotten really good at delivering the hit, mm-hmm. as opposed to being the guy that takes the hit. You know, and I think that would play into the longevity of his career. Do you agree?
No doubt. I mean, points in games where you see defensive backs, you see linebackers not wanting to hit Adrian Peterson because of the way he attacks. But he's also gotten to the point where he can avoid some of those head-on collisions that he would take early in his career. I mean, I remember a number of times where he had a chance to go out of bounds and he dropped his shoulder just to run over a guy.
Yeah.
He's gotten a little bit smarter about that, which is good for our team.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park. Kevin Williams, by all accounts, had a really good game against Oakland. I heard you talk about that in your press conference. What exactly did he do so well?
Just did a great job of being able to dominate their guard. Anytime they gave him single blocks, which he doesn't get a lot of, but for whatever reason, the Raiders chose to do that. And he was able to knock the guard back in the backfield and really create some problems in their run game, along with getting his first sack of the season. And just was so disruptive and had a lot to do with why our team had a chance to come back and win that game on Sunday.
Hugh Jackson, the man with whom you used to coach, coaches the Raiders. After the game with the Raiders, the most penalized team in the NFL and all those personal fouls, you know, he wasn't boisterous about it, but he just made the point that he kind of thinks that the hitting in the NFL is being over-legislated, a little over-called, maybe in that game. Not necessarily that game, Leslie, but do you see it that way? Have they taken the, quote, football, end quote, out of football?
Well, it's definitely changed from when I played. I mean, I see some hits, especially in the secondary, that would not have been called personal fouls that are called personal fouls today, and even some of the tackles on the quarterback. But it's all in the guise of, you know, protecting the players. It's all about the health of the players for the long term. So based on that, I can understand where the league is going with it, but it is a far different game than what it once was.
From back in your day, Fencic and Plank would have been fined $100,000 each every single season. Don't you agree?
Oh, no question, or they would have been out of the league. I mean, that's just the way it is today. It's so, so different. It's a very physical game, but, you know, player safety is definitely a major issue. And so I understand where the league is going, but you still want it to be football. There are going to be collisions. It's just hard not to have collisions in pro football. And hopefully it'll be tempered to a degree.
It's been good to see Christian Ballard receive more reps. How's he performing?
He's doing well.
Good.
And he's really responded well with the addition of more reps, and he's a guy that we're looking forward to watching develop over the next 6 weeks.
Let me hit you up with some terminology quickly, because I hear you and others mention a lot of different things, and sometimes I just don't exactly know what they are, or from a public standpoint, they hear things, but they don't exactly know what they are. For instance, what differentiates the X, Y, and Z receiver?
The X receiver on offense is the guy who actually lines up on the line of scrimmage, and he's a split receiver, and he usually lines up to the open side of the formation away from the tight end.
Okay.
Whereas a Z receiver, he lines up off the ball to the closed side of the formation or to the side of the strength of the formation where the Y lines up, which is the tight end. So the Z and the X line up opposite one another in a pro formation, the Z off the ball, the X on the ball. The Y is the tight end position. That's what Shanko plays for us. He's on the line of scrimmage, and a lot of times, you know, as you know, he's a guy that releases in routes, but we also keep him in the block. He becomes an extra lineman, but he's on the line of scrimmage with his hand down usually when we're in a pro formation, and that's probably what distinguishes the three.
What if you have three receivers and a tight end, and Percy Harvin is in the slot? What letter is he?
We'll use the letter W.
It's a W.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So we just go to the bottom of the alphabet and just work our way up.
Yeah. Teams use different alphabets, but that's what we use. Yeah.
What's a skinny post?
When you let the wide receiver release up to about 12 yards, usually on about the seventh step, he has to break towards the goalpost.
Okay.
And rather than angle directly to the middle of the goalpost, the ball is thrown right out of his break.
Yeah.
You don't let him take, you know, four or five steps towards the goalpost, but as soon as he breaks towards the post, the ball is out.
So Shanko's big catch in the Raiders game was a post play. If it had been 12 to, say, 15 or whatever, it would have been a skinny post.
Yes, would have been a skinny post, and usually that skinny post is with the outside receivers.
Okay.
If we were to line Shanko out at the Z position or at the X position, that's where it usually comes up at.
Now, a shallow cross, is that West Coast offense terminology, or is that just a normal play?
I think it's a term that teams use who not only run West Coast, but those who don't also. And just bringing a wide receiver underneath the zone when you're anticipating zone coverage, and it could happen with man, at about 4 or 5 yards depth, just trying to beat man coverage usually. And if it's zone coverage, Rather than continuing across the field on a shallow cross, that guy will end up sitting down in his zone.
Your quarterback, Christian Ponder, took those red zone interceptions. One came from the 21, but let's call it the red zone. Took them really hard after the game. What has to happen for him to learn from those mistakes?
You know, just continue to watch tape and take a look at where the mistakes occurred and understand why they occurred. And as he gets more experience, he'll make better decisions. And I think what happened to him on Sunday, you know, he'll learn from that, and I think there'll be a lot less of that in the future.
Is there a chance, due to circumstances or whatever, that your offensive line next year could be completely revamped?
Well, it's always possible in our league. I mean, it's always changed. I mean, it's rarely that you bring a team back and it's identical to the year before. So we'll see what happens when offseason comes.
Say Adrian doesn't go. Remind us of what Toby Gerhardt's skill set exactly is when he receives ample opportunity.
Well, if you recall the Redskins game a year ago when Adrian got banged up and Toby had to play a lot, he did a terrific job for us. He's one of those guys who the more carries he gets, the better he gets. And rarely do you see him get knocked back. He's always moving forward, and he's a little bit more niftier than people realize, but the more carries he gets, the better he becomes.
Speaking of the offensive line and also great blocking for Adrian Peterson on his last two touchdowns, center John Sullivan, from all accounts, has done a terrific job. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Is re-signing John a big priority with this team?
Yes, it is. I mean, he's a guy we like to keep as a Viking. He's had a good career here. He's having a good year for us, and we'd like to get him re-signed.
And he was the starting center the entire year. You went to the NFC title game. Do you draw a line through last year for him with the calf injury, some personal turmoil into the season, and then this was a big year for John, and he's responded pretty well? Is that fair?
No doubt about it. The fact that he's bounced back from a tough year a year ago and played at such a high level this year, I mean, you have to take that into account, and that's one of the reasons we would like to get him signed.
Do physical backs like Mike Tolbert, LeGarrette Blount, Michael Bush, and now the bowling ball Michael Turner this weekend, do they give our defense a little trouble?
You know what? What gives our defense trouble is if we are not where we need to be gap wise. It doesn't matter who the back is. You know, he'll have a chance to be successful. So, as long as we're where we need to be and we're getting off of blocks, you know, we can handle most backs.
A minute to go. What are some things professionally, Leslie, for which you are thankful?
Just thankful for this opportunity to be the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Thankful for my family and friends like yourself that are there, been so supportive, and thankful every day that I wake up. And the fact that we're so close to Thanksgiving, just very grateful for the fact that, you know, we're in this role that we're in.
And the fans who come out to see you play, listen to the games on the radio, watch them on TV, despite the record and the wonderful Military Appreciation Day we just had at Mall of America Field.
Well, we've got great fans, Paul. They've been so supportive. It's been a tough year for all Viking fans, and you know, we'll have to just continue to work as hard as we can to get things turned, and I believe we will, but just very grateful for our fan support that has been awesome in so many ways.
Thank you, Leslie, and I'll see you this weekend. Okay. Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen. Wide receivers coach George Stewart is around the corner to talk about, among other things, Michael Jenkins, the former Falcons receiver, came into the league as a first-round pick by the Falcons, and now he plays for the Minnesota Vikings. We'll talk about his return to Atlanta, plus much more on Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. Once again, on behalf of the Minnesota Vikings and those of us here at the Vikings Radio Network, a very, very happy Thanksgiving week to you. And thanks for your belief not only in this football team, but in Vikings Live at Winter Park weekly. And don't forget Jared Allen from Mall of America coming up shortly. We call it Vikings Country. We're happy to be joined now in Minnesota Vikings Country by George Stewart, the wide receivers coach for the Minnesota Vikings. George, Paul Allen, happy Thanksgiving, and how are you, my friend?
Paul, I'm doing great, and a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
We are 2-8. Have you ever seen one of these?
I have not, but we're in the process of trying to get this thing corrected, Paul.
How do you handle it with your stable, in your room, with Percy Harvin, Devin Aromashadu, and the rest of the guys?
Well, Paul, we try to keep everything on the positive, and Coach Frazier's done a great job of leading this football team in that respect. And just having a conversation with a few of our players last week, being a 2-8 football team, the atmosphere is still good here. There's nobody looking down, nobody's sad, nobody's disgruntled, nobody not coming to work. Everybody has a great attitude and great positive feelings about what we're trying to get done here.
How did Mr. Musgrave get Percy Harvin so wide open on that screen that he scored?
Well, that's something we have worked on the last couple of years, and we have ran that particular play. Matter of fact, it was the play that we held over from our previous staff, and it was one in which that Percy did come open. We tried to run it a couple of weeks ago, and the blitz kind of screwed it up, but Percy did a great job of getting open and also his running lanes downfield. Michael Jenkins, outstanding job downfield blocking for him.
It's a challenge weekly finding ways to get Percy Harvin open, not only for Bill Musgrave, but for you, because he gets a lot of attention. Now Adrian's in question this weekend. Okay, they may focus on Gerhardt and that nifty little screen, but Percy might get much more attention this weekend, correct?
Well, obviously, more and more, Percy is making plays. He is a playmaker for his polish, you know, and anytime you defend or have a player like Percy Harvin to play against, you're going to defend him. So it's up to our job to have a chance to get him free.
It may be a dumb question, George, and I've never asked it to you, but especially without Bernard Berry and trying to find a guy who can streak down the field and give you a legitimate deep threat, why? I think in the business you call it nine routes, and
right.
I know Percy's an inside guy.
Right.
But why is he never that guy? And I know protection. I know there are a lot of things that go into it, but we've just never seen it all year.
Ironically, that happened last week, Paul. We had Percy on an outside route, and one of their defensive backs came to me after the game, Stanford route, and said, "Coach, I tell you what, that Percy Harvin can fly." He said, "I know I can run real fast, but Percy Harvin can fly." And that's one thing you'll probably see, Paul, in terms of as we go into it without Adrian and without a deep threat, to see Percy more and more outside. But right now, he is such a great slot player, as you know. It's really hard to take him away from that, but we will switch it up at times.
George, it's too bad things didn't work out with Bernard Berry, and I know you were very, very high on him coming into the season, and it looked like it was going to start out okay. The quarterback underthrew him badly at San Diego, where Bernard's catch may have won that game. Likewise for the Lions game, but it's a shame it didn't work out.
Right, Bernard did the best he could here, and I take a lot of that blame, Paul, in terms of coaching him, and it comes down to coaching with a young man, and I will take full responsibility for Bernard Berrien. He's an outstanding young man, great individual, and I just wish him well.
What responsibility would you take?
In terms of making sure that his mindset and he's ready to play every week. And, of course, any time that your players don't play to a level that you want them to play, I always take responsibility for it, Paul, and I'm not going to go anywhere else with that other than I will take responsibility for Bernard Berrien's play.
I really enjoy Michael Jenkins' inclusion on this team. He's not going to go to the Pro Bowl, and he's never going to be a 12-touchdown-a-year kind of guy.
Right.
But on really any team, I mean, I now really appreciate what he does on and or off the field. He's a really sweet guy, but he's just very good at what he does, George.
Mike is your consummate pro. He's a great guy for your team in terms of in the community. He does a great job with his charities off the field. But on the field, he does all the dirty work. He's the guy that's going to block for you. He's the guy that's going to come in and crack linebackers. He's going to get open down the field and make plays for you. But Mike has been a great pro for us. We drafted him when I was in Atlanta in 2004, and he has been a pro since the day he walked on the field.
Not to cast the gaze too far ahead, George Stewart, wide receivers coach, Vikings live at Winter Park, but just looking to the offseason with no names mentioned, obviously. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at free agency and or the draft, and you're looking at your stable to take these receivers from where they are now and make them better, would you say a field-stretching threat is absolutely the thing you need most?
Paul, I don't know. I would say this, that we have some holes, obviously. Our fans know and you know we have holes. And if it's our receiver core, obviously that's a position we have to look at. If it's anything else in this football team, we would probably get the best available person available for our football team to be successful. But, yeah, there's a need for a guy that can stretch the football field, but we'll see when we come to the offseason.
Tell us about Devin Aromashadu and the way he's working out.
Devin has done extremely well, you know, since he's been here. He's a very smart, very intelligent football player. He's made plays for us down the field early. Last week, he made a big play on the boundary with a sideline catch and turned that thing up for about 37, 40 yards on the reception. And he's done a great job for us. Again, he is another guy that's a fierce blocker inside as a receiver, but he does an outstanding job in terms of coming in and making plays for us.
George, how is it different coaching receivers for different quarterbacks? In other words, you have Donovan McNabb, who's been to handling school, but he had his struggles here. Then you get a rookie that comes in, and he wants to break the pocket and run for like 75. How do you coach the receivers up for different guys?
Well, it's very similar. When I was in San Francisco with Steve Young, Steve Young was a running quarterback, also had the ability to throw. And with Donovan, early in his career, he was a runner, but he wanted to be a thrower late in his career. But with those two guys, in terms of coaching receivers, you coach them the same. The deal is that the quarterback has to be able to rhythm up with those receivers, or the receivers have to rhythm up the quarterback, meaning that they spend an extra time after practice getting to know each other. You know, Christian is a young football football player, as we know, Paul, and he's very young in this offense. So he, with the receivers this past week, really got together, had an opportunity to sit down and watch a lot of tape together. And that's the essence of a quarterback and receiving crew, because of the time they put in together off the field.
You're the receivers coach, so it's kind of like an Ashford and Simpson or a Hall and Oates or a McCartney and Wonder, where you got the lead singer is the quarterback, but the secondary individuals are the receivers.
Right.
And if they don't sing in harmony, nobody buys the albums. So let me ask you this. With the lead vocalist, the quarterback, Christian Ponder, do you love him? Do you like him? Or are you not sure and you need to see more?
Obviously, I love Christian Ponder. He's going to do a great job for us. You mentioned Ashford and Simpson. Those two guys have to be solid as a rock. And you know what I'm saying in terms of solid as a rock, one of the songs they created. But they have to be solid as a rock, the receiver and quarterback position. But Christian has done an outstanding job since inserting into the starting role.
Well, copyright Peaches and Herb, I'm glad our relationship has been reunited. And now there's an opportunity for you to go shake your groove thing on this Wednesday evening, okay?
Paul, I got you. Again, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, George, and I'll see
you
around,
so
man. Good luck against Atlanta, your former squad, all right?
Thank you.
Yep, see you later. George Stewart, wide receivers coach for the Minnesota Vikings. Always enjoy chatting with him. He's absolutely one of my very favorite guys there. And for a guy like me that likes old-school R&B, that man is an old-school R&B aficionado with the solid as a rock reference by Ashford and Simpson. Hey, Buffalo Wild Wings is the only place to watch the game when you're not at the game. Play the VIP scratch game, and you could win a VIP experience, free wings, and more. And make sure you join yours truly and Paul Charchian, my dear friend, the analytical one from LeagueSafe.com, this Friday, a couple of days from now, day after Thanksgiving, from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in West St. Paul. It's a Friday football feast. Check out the complete Viking schedule, plus much more on your favorite team on my show page at KFAN.com. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. We thank Tom West, Joe Nelson, Jay Nelson, and everybody else for assisting with this radio show, Vikings Live at Winter Park. And once again, on behalf of all of us with the Minnesota Vikings and the Vikings Radio Network, have a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. And don't forget to listen to the Vikings and the Falcons Sunday at noon from Georgia Dome. Coming up next, Jared Allen and Vikings Country from all of America. This has been Vikings Live at Winter Park, all across the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.